Ephesians chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All right, did you notice there in verse number 15 where we began reading, see ye then that ye walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise. Every step that a believer takes is important. You know, sometimes we wake up and we go to bed and we take many steps throughout the day, but we don't realize that every step that the believer takes is important. Sometimes we take many steps before we realize that we're on the wrong path. Because it's so easy to get on the wrong path or to take a wrong step and spending a lot of time trying to fix some of those problems, instead what we want to do before is walk carefully and strictly so that we know that the steps that we're taking are purposeful, that the steps that we're taking are the steps that God wants us to take and not the steps that we want to take. And this is why it's important for the believer to walk carefully and strictly. In this passage, in these verses, we have seven things that the Bible tells us regarding our walk, the walk of the believer, okay? And the first thing that we see is found in verse number 15. As a Christian, you and I, notice there, we should walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. What does that mean? What is that word, circumspectly? According to the dictionary, to walk circumspectly is to walk cautiously or to walk carefully. And God wants us, as a believer, to walk carefully. Well, notice what the difference here is. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So we have an option. We can walk as fools, making foolish decisions, or we can walk as wise, with the wisdom of God in the decisions that we take. All right, so this is what God wants from us. When we walk as fools, this is a person that is not being alerted to the pitfalls and the temptations of life. He wakes up in the morning as a believer and he just begins to walk and he's just walking foolishly. Whatever happens today happens. Whatever I get into, I get into. Whatever I do, whatever I say, it doesn't make a difference. You know, that's a fool. Not caring how you're walking. But if we're going to walk circumspectly, like the Bible says, and we're going to walk cautiously and carefully, then that's a person that is seeing what's going on. He's thinking about what's going on, thinking about what he's doing, what he's about to say, what he's about to do, he or she. Considering the situation, considering the consequences of something that we can do that can get us in trouble because of our sin, considering that if we go the wrong path, it wouldn't be pleasing or honoring to God, or we can walk carefully and cautiously, thinking about those things. Well, yeah, well, then we need to fix that, right? Then we need to walk circumspectly, thinking about everything else that's going on around us. Now, we don't have time, but in Proverbs, you can write this down. In Proverbs chapter number 7, the whole chapter deals with a man that was taken essentially by what the Bible calls an harlot. And she was waiting for this man. And the man was walking by, and she, with her fair speech and her looks and all those things, deceived him to come and go to her house, even though she was a married woman. And you know what that is? Well, this man wasn't walking cautiously or circumspectly, thinking, you know, if I do that, the consequences are that of that is not good. It's going to affect my family. It's going to affect my relationship with God. It's going to affect everything. And so we need to walk, like the Bible says, circumspectly, cautiously, being alerted about what's going on around us. Okay? The second thing is this. Notice there in verse number 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Are the days evil? Oh, they're evil. And they're getting worse and worse. And it's biblical. It's only going to get worse and worse. People say, well, if we elect this person and if we get this person, it's going to get better. Listen, nobody's going to make it better. God is allowing this to happen so that people that don't believe come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that believe can be alerted of what's going on and be living for Him. That's what God wants. So this is what this means. What does it mean to redeem the time? Well, a lot of us lived for the world and for the flesh and for ourselves for many years. Well, now, guess what? Now that we've been born again and we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to redeem that time, and we ought to say, you know what? I lived all these years for myself and for other people and for the devil and for the flesh. Well, now I'm going to live for you, Lord. What do you want me to do? Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. That's redeeming the time. Or looking at it this way, we only have so many hours in the day. And we spend a lot of idle time in things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. Oh, they may matter of things of this earth, but they don't help us spiritually speaking. We're not investing ourselves in heavenly treasures. We may be, and you know what that is? It's just wasting time. And if we're going to be redeeming the time, that time that we're using for that, we ought to be spending it in doing something for the Lord. Whatever it is, just find something to do for Him. Redeem the time. Use your time wisely and take advantage of the opportunities that come your way. How about this? Well, if you want to redeem the time, how about telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ has been good to me. Well, there's so many people that don't have them. How about telling them? Telling them that they can be saved. Then it just takes faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By faith. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. You know what? That's redeeming the time. Now you're doing something for Jesus. What about this? Living righteously and godly. You know, a lot of times we spend idle time and we spend a lot of times doing things that don't please God. And we're all guilty of it. But how about we spend more time doing things that are right and things that are godly? Hey, you'll redeem the time doing that. What about being diligent at work and with the family? Well, God has given us and entrusted us other people. How about we spend some time there? We're all guilty of wanting to do something else, a project or something else. But then what? The years go by and what? How about being faithful in all that we do and doing it to the glory of God? Oh, a lot of things that we do for selfish reasons. Well, how about we do some things for Him? How about this one? If we're going to redeem the time, how about we pray and read the Bible daily? You know, sometimes, we're quick at reading books. But how about this book? And we're quick at taking matters into our own hands, but how about praying? And allowing God to take control of the situation. Pray more. and read the Bible more. Now, this is just, listen, we're all guilty of it. We can all do other things, even listening to I listen to a lot of sermons. Good. But it doesn't fill the void of reading the Bible and praying. Oh, well, so-and-so reads their Bible. That's okay. We need to do it. This is how God, you see, prayer is how we communicate to God, and God communicates to us through His Word. Well, how about if we just do that? You know what? If we do that, we will redeem the time. We'll live a life purposefully, okay? All right, the next thing is this. Look at verse number 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you know what the will of the Lord is for you? Well, you see, here's the thing. Oftentimes, we get the will of God and the plan of God confused. The will of God is in the Bible, and that's for every believer. And you can find, you can open your Bible and you can look up the word will of God, and you'll find a lot of verses that say this is the will of God, and it's for us. This is what God wants us to do. If we do the will of God, then God will show us the plan of God for our lives. But first we got to do the will of God. Well, what are some of those things? In Romans, you don't have to turn there, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what the will of God is? Not to be conformed to this world. And what do? Sometimes we are conformed to this world instead of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? Through the Word of God. Well, that's the will of God for us. What about to serve Christ? The Bible says in Ephesians 6, 5 through 8, but as the servants of Christ. If we're not serving Him, we're serving somebody. That's the truth. Well, the will of God is that we serve Him. Okay? What about to suffer for well-doing? You find that in 1 Peter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You see, a lot of times we get in trouble and we say, well, I'm suffering for Christ. Well, guess who got us in that trouble? Ourselves. And say, if you suffer for evil-doing, well, anybody can get into some trouble for doing evil. But when you suffer for well-doing, now my coworkers don't even want to have lunch with me anymore. Why? Because I bow my head and pray? Well, you don't like that? That's fine. You know what? At first, I thought, oh, you know what? It doesn't feel good. I want my friends to like me, and we all want to be liked, but you know what? I'm not going to force them, and I'm not going to, hey, guys, you know, you want to invite me to lunch? It's okay. You know what? It's a little bit of suffering, and the Lord sees that, and He says, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Suffering for doing good. How about to be sanctified? The Bible says that we should know how to possess His own vessel in sanctification and honor. God wants us to be sanctified is to be set apart for His purpose. Away from the world, unto Him. Okay, so it's two steps. We need to get away from the world, and we need to be sanctified unto Him. Well, that's the will of God for our lives. Let me just say this regarding this point before we move on. All of us should know the will of God for us. How are we going to do what God wants us to do if we don't know what He wants us to do? So let's find out and let's do what God wants us to do, to know the will of God. All right, the next thing is this. Look at verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a capital S, so that's the Holy Spirit of God. So obviously, God doesn't want us to drink. You know what? Nothing good comes from drinking. It only gets us in trouble. It wastes money. It wastes time. Nothing. You read the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it ever talk about condoning drinking. Why? Because it doesn't end good. Nothing. But it says be filled with the Spirit. Okay, well, how can you and I be filled with the Spirit of God? You and I can be filled by being effective in our Christian walk. Just do what God wants us to do, and we will be filled. Well, what's the purpose of being filled? Let me say this. When a person gets saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God. Immediately, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in your life. You can't lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. Okay? But guess what happens? Because we live in the world, a lot of the world gets in us. It's kind of like this. You have a glass of water. Or let's say you have a glass of coffee. And coffee represents something that's sinful or bad. Well, how do you get that out while at the same time having something in it? You understand? You need to put water and keep putting water and keep putting water, and the coffee keeps spilling over. And by the time you know it, guess what? Then you're going to have clean water in the cup. Well, the same thing is true with us. The Holy Spirit of God is in us, but the world gets in us, and what he wants is he wants us to be filled with the Spirit of God instead of being filled with other things. We get filled with care, with stress, with burdens, with all kinds of things except being filled with him. Well, he wants us. Well, why would we want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Well, it's very important, and I want you to see this, so keep your place here and go to Acts chapter number 1. And I want to show you two places. There's many more, but where you're going to see a person being full of the Spirit of God and what that person did, okay? It's very important. Acts chapter number 1, and look at verse number 8. Okay, Acts chapter number 1. And verse number 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Do you know what's happening here? Being full of the Holy Spirit of God helps a person be an effective witness. Notice. You shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Well, in order to witness to someone else, let me tell you something, you need to be full of the Spirit. Because if you're full of the world, you're not going to tell anybody. I know that by experience, okay? We get thinking of other things, and the last thing on our mind is Jesus and how we can tell somebody else about Jesus. So we need to be full of the Spirit so that we can be witnesses. Another thing is this. We start telling somebody and we say, you know, I want to give you this tract, or I want to give you this Bible, or I want to tell you about Jesus. And then a certain fear comes our way. It's a spiritual work. The devil doesn't want you to do it. Our flesh doesn't want to do it. Everything is against us. Well, what are they going to think? I get scared, and what if they don't take the Bible? And what if they tell me to, you know, whatever? What if they kick me? You know, the chances of that happening here in the U.S. are probably slim to none. Maybe another country. Yeah, what if they stop talking to me? And we think about, that's very selfish, and I'm glad you brought that up. What are they going to think of me? Well, who cares what they think of me? But you know what? We care what people think of us, and we care how we're going to look and how bad we're going to look and all this if we're not full of the Spirit. But if we're full of the Spirit, you know what? We'll tell them, this is what the Bible says, and this is what you need. And that's it. We don't have to worry about anything else. Let God do the work. I'll show you another one. Go to Acts chapter number 4. Look at verse number 29. This is another reason why we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 29. Notice what the Bible says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us, thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by thy name and the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? And they spake the word of God, how? With boldness. You know, you need to be full of the Holy Spirit so that you can speak the word of God with boldness. If we're not full, listen, if we're full of other things, it's going to be like that person that, you know, and it's happened to me a couple times. You go and you go talk to a person and they're dressed a certain way. Maybe they're, you know, like a motorcycle club or something. And you're like, man, I don't want to tell them. What? They're going to laugh at me. You know, that happened to me one time at the seawall. There was a group of motorcycles, and they were all there. And, you know, I was passing out tracts and passing out Bibles, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to keep walking because there's more people over there that need tracts. And so I'll just keep walking. And I said, no, they're right here. You know what? Let me just... Lord, help me, please. It's one of those prayers, Lord, help me. And I said, you know, I went over there. I said, hey, I have these little, these little Bibles, right? I said, hey, I got some Bible tracts here. And I got some Bibles, if y'all would like them. And one of the guys says, oh, yeah, I know what those are. Yeah, give me some. Hey, come over here. Let's get some. I thought, you know what? I wasn't expecting that. Sometimes what we think not doesn't really happen. Well, you know how we're able to overcome that? We need to be filled with the Spirit so that we have the boldness to do what God wants us to do. He wants us to do it. And listen, we all know people in which that happens to us, and we're scared, and some we're intimidated, and we're whatever. What you can find all kinds of words, but the truth of the matter is we're just scared and we need God to help us. Well, we need to be full of the Spirit. All right, let's go back to Ephesians. Look at verse number 19. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to who? To the Lord. All right, so this is very important. And notice three things that God says. This is how he wants us to make melody in our hearts. Verse 19. How? By speaking to yourselves. To yourselves. Notice, you're having a conversation with yourself. And you got to do it with psalms, with hymns, and with spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know this, but it's just a reminder. The words to a song can either help you or hurt you. They can either encourage you or they can make you feel sad. The words of a song. A song does that. Now, there are some Christian songs, and we need to be careful because oftentimes, some modern Christian music plays to the emotions of a person. And we need to be very careful. It becomes emotional instead of the truth. Well, you can't go wrong with this. If you memorize the Psalms, like it says here, and you speak the Psalms to yourself, and you sing those Psalms to yourself, well, that's what God wants. And look at what you're doing. You're doing melody in your heart unto who? Unto the Lord, not unto anybody else. Well, what's another one? The hymns. How many of y'all have sang the hymns before? The hymns came straight from the Bible. Those are the words that help a person, that encourage them, that build them up. You know, when you're having a bad day, you start singing those hymns that you have in memory. And you know what it does? You know what it does to me? It cheers me up. When I'm having a bad day, And it helps me. It uplifts me. That's the power of the music. Those are the great hymns of the church that have biblical words. And then notice this, and spiritual songs. These are spirit-filled songs that are a help to us. All right? Then notice, and you know what happens if we're walking throughout the day singing in our hearts to the Lord? You know what it does? It brings joy and happiness to our lives when we're listening to the right music. But if we start listening to the wrong music, it's going to take you down a path that can potentially be dark and have all kinds of thoughts that are not Christ-like. Okay? All right. The next thing is this. Look at verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How often? Always. For what things? For all things. For all things. And you know what? If you think about it, God deserves us to give Him thanks all the time for everything. Amen. You know, we ought to thank each other too. You know what? I'm thankful y'all came tonight. I'm thankful the food that was brought. I'm thankful y'all were in good fellowship and that we're all helping. I'm thankful for that. But more than that, I thank the Lord, because He's the one that put all this together. And He's the one that's worthy to be thanked for all of this. In everything, give thanks. This is what God wants. Not only in everything, but for all things. As we walk through all kinds of situations, we can give thanks to God. You know why? Because of His presence and His power in our lives. Amen. If nothing else, He's there. And when we need wisdom, He gives us wisdom. When we need understanding, He gives us understanding. When we need anything pertaining to this life, God helps us. Amen. Okay? And for that, we ought to give Him thanks. Listen. Everything that we have is because God allows us to have it. Amen. He gives us health to get up and go to work. Well, that's a good thing. And because of that, we can be thankful unto Him. You know what happens? I want to give you just an example, but when we give thanks to God, you know what it does? It magnifies God and His work in our lives, while at the same time minimizes the cares and concerns of this life. Let me say that again, because this is very good. When we give thanks to God, it magnifies Him and His work in our lives. At the same time, it minimizes anything we may be going through. Why? Because we focus on Him and not on anything else. And so by the time you know it, you're just thankful to the Lord. You know, try it one day. Just give Him thanks. Think about, like the hymn says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Just count how many things God does for you, and be thankful to God. And you'll see it'll turn that frown upside down, and you'll be thankful. And not only does it do that, but it reminds us who the great giver and supplier is in our lives. Everything that we have is because of Him. And it says our focus back on heavenly things instead of earthly things. Oftentimes we live for this earth, but we want to live for Him. And that's what it does oftentimes. It helps us to do those things. Keep your place there, because we're almost done, but I want to read you in 1 Chronicles 29. You can write it as a reference. 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 9. This is what David did when he was exhorting the people. 1 Chronicles 29, 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is that is to make great and to give strength unto all. You know, that's what David said, and you know what it is? It's true. All those things about God are true, and we ought to give thanks to God for that. And the last thing is found there in verse number 21. Notice, submitting yourselves one to another, how? In the fear of God. You and I should have a submissive and respectful spirit. That's what God wants from us. We should be going about our way, serving and ministering to each other. There shouldn't be any dissension. There shouldn't be any divisiveness. There shouldn't be any envy. There shouldn't be any criticism. There shouldn't be any selfishness among any of us if we're really submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. You see, but that's what happens. We start, there's a little bit of envy that starts happening. There's a little bit of criticism. Well, did you see, you know, that brisket or that, oh, that thing over there, the coffee was cold. We start complaining. I'm not saying any of those things are true. I'm just saying. Excuse me, yeah. Excuse me, you want to fight? Yeah, that's how it gets, right? And what did you say about my chips or whatever? My cake? My cheesecake, or I don't know. And we begin to think about those things, and it creates division among believers. And the enemy loves that, but not God. God says that we ought to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And this is what the Bible says. You don't have to turn there, but in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. See, that's the problem. People start getting vainglory. Well, I want to get the credit. You know, I did this, this, and this. I should get the credit. Yeah, but you know what? We're like that. We want to get the credit. That's just the way we are. Oh, and they didn't recognize me. And now we get offended and but it shouldn't be like that. Okay? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But notice, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, if we had that attitude all the time and we say, what do you need? What can I help you with? What do you need? How can I be a help to you? What do you need? You know, can I help you in this way? Okay. You know, how can I help you do this job or do this work? And that's how we should be, instead of saying, I can't believe he wants to do that. No, he's not going to do that here. And that's what happens, okay? Not if we, but if we're submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, then we'll have this submissive and respectful spirit. The Bible also says this in Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know what happens? People start thinking, well, you know what? I'm somebody. You know, because I'm up here, I'm no different than anybody else. And I don't want to ever think that way, that I'm somehow above anybody, because guess what? Then we got some problems. Me and God have some problems if that's the case. But it doesn't just happen up here. It happens at work, and it happens at home, and it happens with friends, and it happens with coworkers. It happens with all over. Sometimes we think we're better, and guess what happens? Well, you don't do this good enough, and you don't do, and I don't want to name any of those things that you're thinking about, okay? But that's what happens. Like it says there in Romans 12:3. Not to think, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, if we just thought, you know what? I just want to serve the Lord the best that I can, wherever I am, however I can, and that's okay. Well, if somebody comes, they didn't treat me right. You know what? Let the Lord deal with it. Well, they didn't say hi. Oh, they didn't greet me. Oh, they said, and we start thinking all things. It happens. We laugh about it, but it happens. And then we say, by the time you know it, well, I'm not done. I'm never going to church. I'm never going to go see so-and-so. And sometimes there are things that we end up forgetting within a couple of days or weeks. I have knocked on doors. I'll tell you this. Years ago. And I've knocked on doors in a certain city. And I'll invite people to the church where we were at. And they used to say, oh, that church, I'm not going over there. You know, I heard one. Okay, I don't. Then I heard it twice and three times. I said, let me ask you, is there something that, well, over there, they treated me like this. And you know what? Some of those things were like, you know what? Maybe it was true. I don't know. But it's only a one-sided conversation. So, you know, you take it for whatever it is. But does it happen? It happens. It's unfortunate, but it shouldn't happen. Submitting ourselves one to another, okay? All right, so hopefully with this lesson, we've seen a perspective regarding our walk as a Christian, okay? The Bible says, like it says right there, that we should walk circumspectly and not as fools. But we need to be watching what's going on around us. We shouldn't just walk with blinders and saying, well, it doesn't matter what happens here or here. No, think about everything that's going on. And all of these things, all seven of them, are a help to us personally so that we don't get caught up in the things of this world, but we focus on the things that God wants for us. Okay? And hopefully it's been a help to you as it was to me. Let's pray.